We come now to the fourth group of outcomes. Listening and encouraging, which is usually called counseling and family. Important. In some countries, pastors and anyone else in the congregation who is involved with these aspects may not, by law, be called counselors, as this is a term reserved for those who have qualified professionally and have the appropriate qualifications. In such cases, you will need to use a different term, for example, pastoral carer. Outcome 4.1 reads, comfort and assist others in times of crisis, namely death, marital problems, illness, etc. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. Galatians 6:2 says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. And Philippians 2 verse 4 says, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. All pastors will at some point have people in their congregation who face crises of different kinds. Death is inevitable, and the affected families will need to be comforted. Married couples will sometimes experience conflicts that will need to be resolved. Illness in the congregation often requires pastors to do hospital or home visits. In addition, there are other issues which arise from time to time which require the pastor's intervention. For all of these, the pastor needs some form of training, and failure to do so could be very damaging for the individuals affected and sometimes for the whole congregation. Let's start with death. Death is the most challenging of all these issues. A useful book entitled Answers to Pastors' Questions by Howard Sugden and Warren Wiersbe provides very helpful information for pastors about this sensitive topic. Here is a summary of the key points they make in the chapter about deaths and funerals. 1. Don't ever tell jokes about death or funerals in public meetings of the church. 2. Contact the family as soon as you hear about death in a church family. Phone first to see if it is okay to visit. Once you have arrived, try to have a quiet ministry. A talkative, loud pastor is going to do more harm than good. Then express your sympathy and be available to listen and help. Offer to read a passage from the Bible and pray, and do it from the heart. At your next meeting, when you meet to arrange the funeral, let the closest relative to the deceased have the final say about time, place, and music. Ask if there's a favorite passage from the Bible to be read. The funeral service should not be long, and the sermon should focus on one comforting truth. This is no time for a doctrinal exegesis on death or resurrection. You're applying balm to broken hearts, so be tender. The authors discourage a heavy heaven and hell type sermon, but say that you should always give assurance that anyone who trusts Jesus Christ is saved, but that it's unwise to delay that decision. Follow up with a visit as soon as possible after the funeral and respond to signs of emotional problems and possible family disagreements. The authors end this section with a very wise piece of advice. Your regular pastoral ministry week after week helps to prepare people for the hour of sorrow. Preach as a dying man to dying people, and when death visits the flock, both you and your people will be prepared. Dear facilitator, it may not be possible to watch your students actually conduct a funeral, but they must be able to describe the process well. Next week, we will discuss the issues of marriage and divorce.